The Holy Gospel for this Sunday is from Matthew chapter 12, beginning at the 38th verse. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so for 3 days and 3 nights the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated. Well, my name is Judy Thompson. For you newer members, I was the parish nurse here for most of the first 10 years of our congregation. In the past, when I appeared in the pulpit, it was usually that something bad had happened. One Sunday, I remember Pastor Chris's mother-in-law, who we had just gotten settled in the nursing home the day before, died unexpectedly. And at 10 minutes to 7, he's walking out as I'm walking in, and he said, Eva just died, you'll have to take the service. So in this case, in another case, Pastor Chris was actually the emergency. He had had a terrible bike accident and broken his neck. So today there is no emergency. This is planned. Pastor Julia is on vacation and will be back next Sunday. We are in the midst of a 4-week series called the Spirit Series. I also call it the Creation Series. Last week, was Forest Sunday, and next week is Wilderness Sunday, and the final week is River Sunday. Today is Land Sunday. In the Genesis reading today, the second creation story, we have an explanation for the harsh conditions of the land where the people of Israel started out after the fall. God tells Adam that he will have to work hard to bring forth food from the land compared to the easy life he had in the Garden of Eden. But what is this story trying to tell us? This story, or allegory, if you will, helped the Israelites to understand at least 3 things. Why are women especially afraid of snakes? Now, this does not count Angie Thelman, who is the snake remover from this congregation, and I have seen it with my own eyes. It's the last time I recall her doing this, it was with a broom and a dustpan. Am I correct on that? Mm-hmm. Why women experience pain in childbirth? When I was in nursing school in 1960, we were taught to not call contractions pain, but call them contractions. Later in my career, I learned that it was important to acknowledge pain when I was trying to help somebody deal with it. I also learned later in life to question authority. Giving birth really convinced me that contractions were painful. And lastly, why the land the Israelites lived in was so harsh. I've had a little experience with harsh land, and I imagine some of you have too. How many of you have been to Alaska? Quite a few. How many of you have been to the Sonoran Desert in southwestern United States or Mexico? How many of you have been to the desert in Africa? Because when we travel to these faraway places that are harsher land, we are always amazed when we return home to the lushness of our own Midwestern country. This land is home. This land is home for us. But many lands are home to different people. Some people see mountains or oceans or deserts in bloom and call that home. Today, just as in biblical time, people live in the desert. My husband, Tom, and I had the opportunity to live near and to know Native people who live in the Sonoran Desert of southern Arizona and Mexico, the Tohono O'odham, or desert people. They have a rough life on inhospitable land, but they make the most of the products of the not really totally bare land. There are ranchers there who eke out a living on both sides of the border. The Sonoran Desert is the closest I can come to the land of the Old Testament. When I walk in the desert, I think about Abraham and Jesus and Moses and the others walking in the desert, their clothes torn by the rough plants, their feet exposed to scorpions and snakes, no water, a beating sun. This is a land of hard edges, just as the Sonoran Desert is described in a book by Peg Bowden by that name. Two of the tools that modern desert walkers carry are a pliers and a comb. The pliers is to pull out the cactus spines that get stuck in you, and that hurts. And the comb is to brush off cactus that you have brushed against and have come off the cactus plant. So you have to use the comb to sort of brush that away. It takes 2 gallons of water a day in walking in the desert to sustain life. 2 gallons of water weighs a lot, and you can't carry much else. 3 years ago in February, I went down in the desert after only a 4-hour trek. I got up again after drinking a couple bottles of water, not 2 gallons though, and hearing that there was a very big rattlesnake nearby. This is the land God tells Abraham he must work in and work hard for little return. By contrast, we in Minnesota have a land of incredible abundance. Our land grows food for our nourishment and provides metals, fuels, timber for settlement and transportation. God has given us this land as a gift and a trust, a gift and a trust. In the theology of the land from the American Lutheran Church's social statement of the land, they say, it is more than economic and political. Our relationship to the land is a moral matter, a question of what is just and good and most likely to convey love to our neighbors. Land is a demonstration of God's grace. It is one of the ways that God sustains us. This is the gift. But creation is given to the care of humans. We are asked to live in harmony, caring for the land. This is the trust. Gift and trust. How are we doing so far? If you're not sure, go see the movie Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power. You will experience despair and hope. This is not a political pulpit, but a faith pulpit. We believe that God created and is creating, and we are called to be caretakers of the land, to use it gently, wisely, and gratefully. We are called as people of God to step up and to help, to rescue his creation globally, in our community, and in our homes, and also in our church. I know that there are people in this congregation working on evaluating how we use God's gift. This is good. They can point out areas where we need to improve right here in this building. So after the fall, back to Genesis. God leads his people to a better place, a place that is safe, a place to grow food, and to take from the land the resources that he has created for them. He makes a new covenant with them and with us. He asks us to lead a useful and productive life. He asks us to live in harmony, in balance, in beauty with the land. Living in beauty is the basic Navajo tenet of their faith. Do not take too much. Give back to the land. Protect it from ruin. Live in a way that considers the impact of our actions and our inactions. Most of us have been schooled in what these actions could be by the leadership of others, such as Vice President Al Gore, also by government requirements, and mostly by our children and grandchildren. I was pleased to read that the acting ambassador to China, David Brink, resigned recently because President Trump withdrew from the Paris Climate Agreement. And he said, as a parent, a patriot, and a Christian, I cannot do it. I was proud that he identified himself as a person of morality based on his faith. That is what we are all called to do. Please pray with me. Gracious God, Creator of all that is, we thank you for the abundant land we have. Help us to be enlightened stewards of all that is yours to give and ours to use. Make us ever mindful of the lack of richness for those who live in poverty, caused by the need to immigrate, by famine, and by war. Bless and protect those who have chosen to give their lives to the mission of spreading the word for the climate crisis, and those who care for those most affected. Send us out into your world, more aware of the needs of your world. Gird us with strength, and gird us with resolve for our own part in the work of caring for your creation. In Jesus' name, amen.